Across the parking lot, the trooper who had been looking into Shed B turned, spotted us, and began walking in our direction. I felt the skin on my arms prickle. In the gray uniform, the boy, only he wasn't a boy any longer, not really, looked strikingly like his dead father. Nothing strange about that, I suppose. It's simple genetics, a correspondence that runs in the blood. What made it eerie was the big hat. He had it in his hands and was turning it over and over. Eddie fell off the wagon right around the time that one there decided he wasn't cut out for college, I said. Ned Wilcox left Pitt and came home to Statler. For a year he'd done Archie's job, Archie by then having retired and moved back to Michigan, where everyone no doubt sounded just like him, a scary thought. When he turned 21, Ned made the application and took the tests. Now at 22, here he was. Hello, rookie. Halfway across the parking lot, Kurt's boy paused to look back at the shed, still twirling his Stetson in his hands. He looks good, doesn't he? Shirley murmured. I put on my old Sarge face, a little aloof, a little disdainful.
Relatively squared away.
Shirley, do you have any idea how much bright red Dickens his ma raised when she finally found out what he had in mind? Shirley laughed and put out her cigarette. She raised more when she found out he was planning to sell his dad's Bel Air to Eddie Jackaboy. At least that's what Ned told me. I mean, come on, Sandy. She had to know it was coming. Had to. She was married to one, for God's sake, and she probably knew this was where he belonged. Eddie, though, where did he belong? Why couldn't he just stop drinking once and for all?
That's the question for the ages, I said. They say it's a disease like cancer or diabetes. Maybe they're right.
Eddie had begun showing up for duty with liquor on his breath, and no one covered for him very long. The situation was too serious. When he refused counseling and a leave of absence to spend 4 weeks in the spin-dry facility the PSP favors for their stricken officers, he was given his choice, quit quietly or get fired noisily. Eddie had quit, with about half the retirement package he would have received if he'd managed to hang on to his job for another 3 years. At the end, his benefits really stack up. And I could understand the outcome no more than Shirley. Why hadn't he just quit with that kind of incentive? Why hadn't he just said, I'll be thirsty for 3 years and then I'll pull the pin and take a bath in it? I didn't know. The tap really did become Eddie J's home away from home, along with the old Bel Air that was. He'd kept it waxed on the outside and spotlessly clean on the inside right up to the day when he'd driven it into the bridge abutment near Redfern Stream at approximately 80 miles an hour. He had plenty of reasons to do it by then. He was not a happy man. But I had to wonder if maybe there weren't a few reasons just a little closer to home. Specifically, I had to wonder if he hadn't heard that pulse near the end. That tidal whisper that's like a voice in the middle of your head. Do it, Eddie. Go on. Why not? There's not much else, is there? The rest is pretty well used up. Just step down a little brisker on the old go pedal and then twist the wheel to the right. Do it. Go on. Make a little mischief for your buddies to clean up.